just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. Steve, do you know that there's people in the world who, unlike us, don't always have great ideas?
No, I did not know this.
Isn't it?
I kind of thought it was par for the course.
Right? Everyone just has the right idea all the time.
Most people do.
Yeah. No one does that. There's always a process that goes into making a project or a new art piece or a new business.
Yeah.
Like, there's always work that goes into it. And
debates, and only 90% actually makes it to the screen, usually.
You mean only 10%?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. 90% ends up on the floor.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to get things right. And it's true for everybody, including Disney, who have had lots of ideas for movies that didn't actually end up panning out for them.
Yeah.
Which
I heard that's true.
It's not surprising. They do a lot of throwing ideas around to see what might work.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they'll go a little further down the path with it and see where it might end up, or sometimes they even throw money at it and start work. But Disney has had tons of experience with starting projects or thinking about doing projects and then just dropping them.
Right. We've heard a lot about that, especially since we look at theme parks so often. We hear a lot about that with theme parks.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally know of nothing about the movies
right
that have not made it to the silver screen, if you will.
Right.
Like, I know nothing about that.
And to be fair, some of the things that they started working on a long time ago, sometimes they get rerouted back into production. So they may get made at a later date.
Or remade again at a later date.
No, we're not talking about no remakes. Because they had talked about doing The Little Mermaid around the time that they were doing Sleeping Beauty, I think.
Okay,
and they had done treatments for it and everything and just hadn't done it.
To finish it off.
And then, you know, we all know that during the Disney Renaissance, they dusted that off and started it up again.
Thank goodness they did.
Right. So
there's a whole new world for him.
Oh, no. That is the wrong movie.
Oh, totally the wrong movie.
But today we're going to talk about the ones that didn't make it. Because yeah. I find it really interesting to hear how far they're willing to go down the path to try out new things.
Yeah, and you haven't shared any of these with me at all.
No, these are all surprises.
Completely brand new.
And for our listeners at home, they might be surprising too.
I would hope so.
Well,
I don't know how many people go researching Disney movies that have never been made, but
right.
It's probably not.
Some of them personally.
That's what you have us for, folks.
Right. We do that work for you. So I'm going to go back to the earliest one that I
was able to find.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say this is the earliest one that they started and dropped, but this is the earliest one that I found interesting that they started and dropped.
Okay.
So, this was 1938 that they were planning on
working
with this one.
Ooh, you are taking us back.
Right?
Dang.
Back in time.
Seriously.
And this was Walt. Walt wanted to make this movie.
Oh, no.
It's called Penguin Island.
Oh, I love it.
You're already a fan?
Absolutely. I love
Disney, why didn't we make it?
I wasn't around in 1938.
Right? Well, maybe when you hear the description of what this is, you might change your mind.
Was it animated?
Yes.
Okay.
It would have been. There's a book by a gentleman or a person, I don't know if they're male or female, by a person named Anatole French.
Oh.
They wrote a satirical novel that called Penguin Island that Disney wanted to option, right?
Yeah.
Here is a brief synopsis of what would happen during this show.
Okay.
A blind Christian missionary
comes
across an island of penguins. How? Does not realize that they are penguins and ends up baptizing them. You think I'm kidding? The story then continues. Since they're baptized, they are officially given quote-unquote souls, and they build a society that is chronicled all the way from the beginning of their civilization to a high-tech civilization, like a futuristic civilization.
Now, how are they going to do that?
That is destroyed by terrorist bombings.
In 1938.
This is... Why, Disney?
Wow.
It is the most wackadoo story.
Why would you do that to your poor penguins?
Yeah, poor penguins. Huh. Just seems like a very strange conceit for a book in general.
Right.
Let alone for someone to be like, let's make a movie of that.
That's what I was going to say, too, is it was an option, so that means it was already created by somebody else, apparently?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, it was the book by Atul French.
And there you go. But I guess if you think about like even the story of Dumbo, you know, like that concept of a movie is completely
right. A baby elephant is born with giant ears that can fly. Yeah,
yeah.
But this one seems to be
further far fetched.
Yeah. Like, hey, I'm as big a fan as anybody at the penguins and Mary Poppins. Like, I love those things.
He was getting them.
I don't really want to see them
baptized
or blown up. Yeah,
because
it's a weird idea for a movie.
Wow.
And obviously the book is satirical, so it's supposed to be kind of tongue-in-cheek and funny, but I don't know that this movie could have come out funny.
Yeah, not when it ends with a bombing. Yeah. Nothing's fun that ends in a bombing.
No, not fun.
Talk about a bomb.
So, are you picking up Penguin Island? You going to the movie, or are you skipping that one?
I think that one's now off the list. Okay. I'm glad whoever talked him out of that. Thank goodness they did.
Perfect. So, we'll move on then. This one might sound familiar to some people that enjoy cartoon movies already. We're going to jump ahead to 1941.
Oh, big jump.
They're thinking about making a movie called Chanticleer.
Ooh, that's a great title.
Right? It's based on a fable from the Middle Ages, like The Fox and the Crow. Do you know the fable of The Fox and the Crow?
No.
The crow is super vain.
Mm.
And
I relate.
So in Chanticleer, the idea is that the rooster is super vain, and this fox comes along and says, "Oh, but your dad sang really pretty." And Chanticleer says, "Oh, I can sing just as pretty." And when he closes his eyes and starts to crow, the fox grabs him.
Oh.
And starts running away with him. And, you know, it's a fable about not letting people get your goat.
Yeah.
Not getting people to push you around or flatter you into doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, I guess, is the basic conceit, you know? And so they were thinking about making this rooster type film about a singing rooster.
Fun.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd
watch it.
Well, they didn't end up doing it, but a few years later, many years later, in 1991, Don Bluth made a version of this called Rock-a-Doodle.
Okay.
And it wasn't very good. People didn't really like it. So
I like the name Rockadoodle,
but too. Some people might have heard of that one at least before, and they drew the rooster like Elvis.
Oh, fine.
And that kind of thing.
Because they just totally picked up on my idea. I was like, we should totally animate our own little shorts about these horrible movies.
Oh, jeez.
And like release them as Disney movies never made. Do you think somebody's done it already?
No.
It's a great idea.
Well, get on that. I want to see your drawings of Chanticleer.
Oh, my. Oh. Ain't nobody want to see that. That is for sure.
So this one didn't get picked up. Part of the reason was 1941 was a very...
Tumultuous year for
the world, and especially Walt Disney Studios. They were very much running low on
everything.
Help. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't make Chanticleer.
Good.
Unfortunately. Next, we move on to something that you have heard of. They wanted to make an animated version of Don Quixote.
Oh, yeah. That's a musical now.
There is a musical, yeah, called Man of La Mancha. Mm-hmm. This one they have worked for a lot. So 1941 was the first time they thought they might make it.
Yeah.
Again, similar problems. They tried to resurrect it again in 1946. Then they tried to resurrect it again in 1950.
Oh,
and
dang.
Then even as short of time ago as 2001, they were doing treatments on this.
Wow.
And that last one, they kind of put it away for good because they decided it was too adult for kids.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, I don't remember liking the musical very much.
Right.
Because of that. Like, it's about a crazy guy, right?
Well, it's about an elderly man who is obsessed with chivalry and knights. And so he decides that he's going to go out and help the helpless and punish the wicked is kind of his thing. And everyone knows the big part is that he decides he's going to
march into hell for a heavenly cause.
No. The big thing is that he fights a windmill.
Yeah.
That everyone seems to know about.
Uh-huh.
So it's a weird, again, it's a weird story to try to get into a cartoon format, I think.
I think so, too.
The musical is fun. Everyone has their favorite song from that show.
I just sang it for you.
You did. Well, kind of. And it would have been interesting to see what Disney could have done with Don Quixote, but I would have to legitimately read the story before I give too much idea of what that could be.
Yeah.
Because the little I know about it doesn't seem to match a
Disney
a cartoon very well.
But we've said that a lot about the movies that they have put out, mm-hmm. how dark the storyline was prior to them getting their hands on it and fixing
True.
It and making it better.
True.
So I can see that these are kind of in line with it. I can see where the direction came from, I guess. But boy, yeah, I'm glad they didn't decide to make all of those movies.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, if they could adjust it, it could be cool. But I don't know what you would do with Don Quixote. But it would be nice to have an elderly.
It's a lovely accent you've got there, though. Oh, my.
What?
Don Quixote.
Isn't that how you say it?
It's how you say it. I don't get
He's
to say
it. It's from Spain.
It it's
has
true.
To be like...
No, I was legitimately commenting on how good it was.
Okay, well.
It was very nice.
Don't at me if I have a bad. If I have a bad accent.
You all heard mine, so
so we're gonna jump ahead now to 1943. This one I actually thought would be really interesting because it was a collaboration between Disney and one of my favorite authors, Roald Dahl.
Oh yeah.
He's the one, he wrote The Witches, he wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, he wrote all these children's books, Matilda, that are very formative for a lot of kids.
Fun.
And he was going to collaborate with Disney on a project called The Gremlins.
Oh, okay. And before The Gremlins?
We're not talking the 1980s Gremlins that are creepy.
Yeah, because those are scary.
Yeah. Apparently, Roald Dahl was in service during World War II.
Yeah.
He decided he wanted to write a story about gremlins, which originally are what people in the Royal Air Force would blame mechanical failures on.
Oh,
there's a gremlin in the system. That's why my radio's not working.
I have heard that, actually.
Yeah. And so Roald Dahl thought it
would
be
bringing that back.
Interesting. Yeah. Let's bring back the gremlins. Roald Dahl thought it would be interesting to write a story about dealing with the gremlins, I guess.
Kind Interesting.
Of the idea. It didn't end up working out with Disney, but Roald Dahl did eventually write the book and get it published.
That's
so
exciting.
So you can find, apparently, you can find The Gremlins by Roald Dahl.
Do you think that was the basis of the show that came out eventually? Who did put that movie out?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I can tell you that the second one's better than the first one.
Oh, absolutely.
But
I kind of feel like it might have been Paramount that put it out, which was probably a Disney company or Touchstone or something. We're Googling it. We'll bring it back to you in the next podcast.
Yeah, we'll get back to you on that.
Inquiring minds want to know.
But I think that's where the the germ for gremlins came from. I mean, talked about gremlins in the system forever. And I didn't realize that it kind of came from World War II with the Royal Air Force talking about it.
Interesting.
So it's interesting that it morphed into what it is. And I think someone who made the Gremlins movies just kind of created their own kind of world for the Gremlins.
Yeah.
Their own history type stuff.
That's really cool.
Because Disney actually still uses some of the Gremlin designs and stuff. You can see them around.
Really?
If you played Epic Mickey, they have Gremlins that Disney has animated.
Oh, interesting.
And when you see the Disney version, you'll recognize it. You may not know where you've seen them, but they are very... They almost look kind of Looney Tunish, kind of like Marvin the Martian-esque.
Huh. And that's the only place you've seen them is in the video game?
Me personally, yeah. But when I saw the picture online, I was like, oh, no, I totally recognize that. That drawing, I just couldn't say where I would have seen it otherwise. You know
it's
what I mean?
Land they could have at Animal Kingdom.
Gremlins?
Yeah.
You might scare a few people away if you tell them you're making a gremlin land. But what I thought was interesting about Roald Dahl's book is that at first, the people and the gremlins are adversaries, obviously, because the gremlins are messing things up. But eventually they joined forces to fight the Nazis.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, gremlins ain't all that bad.
Right. You got to support them, but not the gremlins now.
Right. I just thought it was an
My
interesting
money's
idea.
On the girl in the dress. The gremlin in the dress.
Oh, that was in the second one, the one girl gremlin. Yeah.
She's fantastic.
She's pretty cool. And I think we probably have time for one more to talk about here. I did not realize that Fantasia was meant to be a yearly release.
Really?
Their idea originally was that they were going to release Fantasia repeatedly with new things in it, with new music.
Really?
And new animated sequences.
That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
It would be very interesting. It would be an interesting way to look at how music changes.
Uh-huh.
Because
could you even imagine the EDM version? That would be great.
Mickey dancing with glow sticks.
I don't even have to imagine it because I got the Diz. What was the name of that album? Do you remember Diz?
Deconstructed?
Yes. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Totally. I forgot you liked that one that much.
It was so good. Highly recommend it, y'all.
Oh, there you go. So they had plans to release it again, but Fantasia was very expensive.
Yeah.
And they didn't jump on it fast enough, I don't think. They did do a Fantasia 2001.
I remember that.
Where they did release a new Fantasia and it had new animated sequences. And then they've talked about doing it since then also, which could be interesting.
Yeah.
Like we said, just to see the advancement in music and the advancement in illustration and
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Every year obviously would be incredibly hard and expensive and overwhelming, you know, for the public. But I think if you did it every decade, I think every decade definitely could potentially deserve its own Fantasia of sorts, you know.
Sure.
Like that would have been fun. Could you imagine what it would have been like to think about it, what it would be like in the 60s and then again in the 80s, and then we're not going to talk about the 90s and then
Hey, the people boy have band favorite version music. Of it. Oh my goodness. People have favorite music from the 90s. We can let them have it.
Right.
But I do think it would be an interesting thing. And I mean, if the now that's what I call music, people can do it.
Right.
Why couldn't Disney, you know?
And you could do like a country version one year. That'd be great.
Well, you could just add country songs in.
On the years that it was hot.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I mean, who wouldn't want to see Donald dancing around to Achy Breaky Heart?
I bet Miley Ray Cyrus wouldn't like that.
Actually, what could be fun is giving people the opportunity to vote on what songs deserve to be in this decade's Fantasia.
Right.
And be like,
that would
what 90s songs deserves to be in Fantasia? And what 2000 to 2010 songs belong in Fantasia?
Yeah.
That would be an interesting thing.
It'd be
fun. And it would be a good way to get people involved and thinking about music, because you could say, we only have one spot for one pop song. We only have one spot and we have to do an instrumental that came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it would have been great when Inya was popular, but get Kenny G back.
Well, you could also do, like, I wonder if, like, movie soundtracks and stuff would be willing to lend their music, you know, because there are some amazing musical scores set to other films and stuff.
It's true.
Could be fun.
It had to be a rule, though, that you cannot use any Disney music in it.
Well, yeah.
Because otherwise Disney would just cram it full of their own stuff.
Well, they crank out the hits.
I was just going to say that. I totally forgot what it was. The Hawaiian one that just came out. Da, 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 ha, 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 ha.
Moana?
Thank you. I cannot believe I forgot that.
I'm so confused. I'm like,
you know what I'm saying?
And that was Polynesian. Oh, Hawaiian would be Lilo instead.
I made such a mess of this entire thing. But what I'm trying to say,
your heart was in the right place.
Right, right. So I'm just thinking that should totally be in the movie.
Oh, I agree. Disney does do some. They hire some great artists.
Yeah,
they hire some great artists to do their music. So you can't deny that they have a good foothold in the music community. Also,
however, I do want the dance remix of Let It Go.
Oh, okay,
that would be much better.
Because we've heard the regular version way too many times.
Way too much, right? Or like the album version. Do you remember the album version? Who did that one? Was it Demi Lovato that did the album version? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. I don't remember who would have.
Poor thing. She didn't even, like.
She didn't stand a chance against Idina Menzel.
Right.
Or Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
There's a blast from the past for you. So these are just. What did we get through? We got through five. Just five movies that Disney thought about making but didn't make. And there's so many more. So we'll probably continue this conversation another day.
Okay.
But it's fun. It's fun to see their thought process and also make fun of them for horrible ideas.
Horrible ideas.
But it's like I always say, there are a few gremlins in the system, but we're getting it worked out.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-fingered point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app, and if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique, and we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.